evening.
Good evening, Malka.
How are you doing, Malka?
Good, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. Malka, you're the only one on. If you want to start, we will. If you want to wait, we will do that also.
We can wait a few minutes. That'd be great.
Okay.
Okay. How's everything in Georgia?
The weather is actually getting warmer. It seems to be very nice. And it's not a lot of craziness other than the people in the world.
Yeah. You feeling okay?
Baruch Hashem, I do. I do feel well. It's hard to know what's going on, though. A lot of people calling with personal problems. It's very normal in this month, but it seems to be a little bit more severe this year.
Wow. Like sickness or just family life?
Sickness, falling, personal issues, the most stuff. Finances seem to be going a little better for most people, although it's there's a lot of deep holes they're having to dig out of. So.
Right. I'm going to go mute, okay?
No problem.
Brenda Love.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
We are just starting. We're studying Parashat Noah from the Zohar. We're in section 25, I believe it is. We're starting at verse 175. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkin Pei Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavadhe B'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononehu Rabbi Yosef Amar Ba'ador Ha'azeh Da Shivcha Dileya Dehawa Dehahu Da Rahayava Vaishtakach Kulei Haish Tzadik Tamim Ve'afilu Bedara Demoshe Aval Lahau Yahuva Yakil Ve'agana Al Alma Begin Dela Ishtahu Asara Ve'alma Kada'a Ulai Yimatsun Sham Asara Bela ishtachavu, ishtachu taman, ufaka la ishtachu, asara elahu, utlet beno, benuk vayhu, belav hanvo, asara. Rabbi Yossi said that the words in this generation are a tribute to Noah, who lived in such a wicked generation, and nevertheless remained a righteous man and perfect. Not only in this his generation is he considered righteous, but even in the generation of Moses would he have been so considered. But he was not able to protect the world, because there were not even 10 righteous people within it. This was the case as described in the destruction of Sodom. Perhaps 10 shall be found there, as not even 10 were found. Sodom was destroyed. The same happened here. 10 righteous people were not to be found. Only Noah has his 3 sons and their wives. But because they did not add up to 10, they could not protect their generation. The last class we had, which was last week, last Thursday, the previous verse, verse 174, was discussing the idea that Noah was righteous only because he was in this generation. Here, the opposite position is taken, that Noah was righteous even within Moses' generation. Does anybody have a question or comment or a thought?
Hello. Donna, why is it saying he is righteous now in this generation in Moses when the last class we had, he wasn't? What's changed?
I'm not following your question, Martha. Moses is considered the highest prophet. You don't become a prophet without a connection to the Creator. the Creator has to, you have to become righteous. If you remember the process, someone becomes righteous, someone purifies themselves, then someone becomes righteous, which is a higher level of purification. Then Hashem comes and picks that person to be a prophet. And then there's a higher level than even being a prophet, which is to become kadosh, to become holy. And that requires Hashem to pick that prophet and transform them from a left column personality to a right column personality.
But we were talking about Noah, how he was righteous. The last time we talked about Noah,
yes,
it says that he was righteous in his generation, but not in Moses' generation. But now we're saying he is. So what's changed between the two parshas?
What has changed is that we are looking for truth, and the truth is unclear, because we depend on the sages, righteous people, to present their truth to us through their writings. The Zohar is the soul of Hashem, so it will present both views, both sets of truth, and leave it up to us to decide what is true for us. And ultimately, through our discussions about these two different verses, we will arrive at a decision as to what is the truth. What is our truth? What is the other person's truth? And what is a unified truth? Just as the metaphor of a fish tank with different colored glass on the sides, and we use that frequently in this class, what color is the fish? Well, it's yellow, or it's orange, or it's red, or it's green, depending on the glass that you're looking through. Each of those are different truths. But what is the ultimate truth? The fish is orange if I look through an orange glass. But what is the ultimate truth? The ultimate truth is the fish is silver. But in order to see the silver, to perceive the silver, I have to climb to the top of the fish tank and look down. What's happening here, why these two verses are presented this way and right next to each other, is so that we can decide for ourselves what is the truth. Is it clear, or is it still confusing for you?
I just go back to the 70 different, the 70 different ways of interpreting.
And that's also, but those are all different truths. Ultimately, there is one truth. And that truth is all of the 70.
Right.
But it's not up to a teacher, it's not up to a prophet to tell an individual, this is the truth for you. The spiritual law is, you must arrive at your own truth. What is correct for you? Let's take an extreme example. There are some people who like to go to nudist colonies. That is their truth. being unclothed is the right thing for them to do. They think. Spiritually, the Torah says we need to clothe ourselves. We need to conceal our body so that in the future we can reveal our body to our spouse. What's truth? They're both right. And at different times in their life, both statements will apply and be truth for each of the two people. This type of discussion, this type of thought process, is how one determines their own truth, what is right for them, and also learns how to discern and respect another person's truth. Is it clear or confusing?
No, I'm understanding.
Okay. So we'll go on to verse 176.
Okay.
Rabbi Elazar Shael Leia Le Rabbi Shimon Lavo Hataminan Vishata Sealma Itmalia Chove Bene Nasha Vedina Napa Vavi Lehahu Zaka Ati Ishtaka Sealma Dehu Itpas Bechovo v'chayavaya Bechad meita noach Ech yitzavev Kila yitpas Bechovayhu Amar lo ha itmar Ikud shabarichu Ba'al liapaka Mine yatoladin lialma migoy tavuta vetu dehadina layachla leshalta alo begin dehava tamer veganaz. Deva Vitkasya yo me ana. Rabbi Elazar asked his father, Rabbi Shimon, "We have learned that when the world is full of the sins of mankind and judgment is pronounced, woe to the righteous man who is found in the world. For he is the first to be punished for the sins of the wicked. How did Noah escape the flood without being punished for the sins of his generation?" And Rabbi Shimon answered him, "It is said that because the Holy One, blessed be he, wanted to bring from Noah offspring into the world, he spared him. Not only that, but judgment could not be applied to him, because he was covered in the ark and hidden from view." Questions, comments, thoughts?
That if you're in the way of judgment or in the eyesight of the judging angels, that you will be caught up in that. So it goes back to when the Israelites were in Egypt as well, about when the angel of death came through, they they were hidden and they weren't in his eyesight or viewing sight.
Right. That's what the first verse was saying. Because the children of Israel had been ordered to stay behind the blood on the lentil, they were not in view, and so blood judgment could not be applied to them.
Right.
And this is one of the spiritual laws. That if judgment has been rendered on the world generally, and to a city or to a state or to a group of people, anybody who is outside will be seen by the angel of chaos, the angel of death, and he will pick them up, and he's been given permission to do that. That's the spiritual law. That's the way things work. But if you really look at this verse, it's saying
that Hashem can still Noah.
Yeah, he said that Hashem wanted Noah to have children. Except there's one problem. He already had the children.
Mm-hmm.
And from this statement that we learn that Noah was supposed to have another child. But that was prevented by what happened to him with his children.
Right.
But he was sealed in the ark, and therefore there was no judgment could apply to him. Until he came out. And when he came out, he accepted the judgment of the world. And he accepted the judgment upon him, upon himself. We either are going to stay and finish two verses, or we stop here. What's your pleasure?
We can continue if Brandy wants to. If not, we'll let her decide.
Are you still here, Brandy?
It's okay if you want to finish the two verses. Or it's okay if you want to stop.
It's probably safer if we stop, because I never know how long an individual verse will.
Right. Okay.
So, you both have a good evening. Our next class at 7 o'clock West Coast time is a Tikkuni Zohar class. Tomorrow morning we have the 7 a.m. class, continuing the Psalm study. And tomorrow at 4:30 we will again continue our process and study these next two verses and complete them tomorrow. That's at 4:30. And then at 7 o'clock tomorrow is questions and answers. And I believe the question, if not, it's okay. But I never did hear the question you asked last week. And I'm not sure what you wanted me to talk about. So I'm reminding you in case you want to bring it up.
Yes, sir.
And we'll do that.
Thank you.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Okay.
And if you want to send me an email or a text with a question in case you can't come, I'll be happy to put it on the recording.
Okay.
everyone have a beautiful evening. Shalom.
Shalom.
Take care, Brandy. Healed quickly.
Okay, thank you.